The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days after Peter said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Amen. Each week, our administrator, Jeff, goes looking online for an illustration to put on the front of the Sunday bulletin. He Googles the occasion or the topic of the scriptures. It might be Christmas or Exodus or parables or healing or whatever. Some topics yield better material than others, as you might imagine. And this week, Jeff looked for images illustrating the Transfiguration, and he came up with the 15th century icon that you see on the green cover of your bulletin. Now, icons are intended to provide a pathway for meditation on some aspect of the divine. And this one attempts to depict the glory and the drama of the meeting between Christ and the two ancient prophets, along with the terror of the disciples, and you'll see even Peter down in the lower left corner making his helpful suggestion about building a couple of tents. While it's the best picture we could find for the occasion, it's not very impressive in monochrome, and I'm sorry to say it's not much better in color. The Transfiguration is a mystical experience, a shared vision of glory, and it just doesn't lend itself to representational art. And this icon really doesn't come close to conveying the meaning or the emotion of the experience. In fact, we even talked about having a blank on the front of the bulletin, just in terms of feeling like everybody reaches the end of the limit of their imagination. Imagine for a moment that you're Peter, climbing up the mountain with Jesus and the sons of thunder. You've heard Jesus' teachings. You've seen him feed multitudes of people and heal many sick individuals. You've already had an epiphany of your own when you confess Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God. You've tried to shield your friend from the terrible suffering that he has told you awaits him in Jerusalem, and you've been roundly scolded for your pains. "Get behind me, Satan!" It's been a roller coaster of emotion, and now here you are setting off for a mountaintop retreat. So often Peter is the one who voices what any of us might feel in the presence of Christ, and once again here it is Peter who alone attempts to interpret the vision and offers to build three tabernacles or dwellings to honor the three mystical figures before him. This offer, this image, raises all sorts of associations for us as people who inhabit the story of faith. Remember the three mysterious strangers who visited Abraham and Sarah and promised a child. They've been understood by generations of Christians to represent the Trinity, God fully present. Remember the wanderings of the people of God in the wilderness when they carried the two tablets of the law in a tent or tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant that went before God's people and symbolized God's presence and protection in the desert. And remember how Moses received those first tablets of the law from God's own hand on the mountaintop, as described in the reading from Exodus, and how Moses brought the tablets down only to find the people of God worshipping a golden idol, and how he smashed the tablets in his anger and despair, and how he had to carve God's words anew on two more stone tablets. Now, Peter, suffering emotional whiplash and faced with indescribable glory, resorts in his confusion to a practical suggestion. Let's build a tabernacle. The Peter we've come to know longs to do the right thing. He knows he's in the presence of God, but his limited imagination falls far short of the splendor of the reality. We can't blame him. We too struggle to find words to express our experience of the glory of God. We limit God to categories that we can understand. Father, king, someone with a mouth and a heart, and even the capacity to beget children. Someone who shares our human passions and prejudices. All because our imagination fails us when it comes to the true extent of God's glory. I dare say that most of us have some memory of a moment, perhaps more than one, when we were dazzled by a glimpse of God's near presence. Maybe it was a mountaintop experience, a view that took your breath away, or a sunset that ignited the sky. But more likely, it was a moment in the ordinary midst of your life, a baby's beatific smile, a beloved's embrace, a phrase from a song, or an aha moment that came out of nowhere. I remember two such moments in my life when most unexpectedly I heard God's voice more clearly than at any other time. One was when I was sitting in a convention center auditorium waiting for a diocesan worship service to begin. And the other was while I was driving home from a July 4th dinner cruise in New Hampshire. Neither could by any stretch be described as a mountaintop experience. And yet, I know that I heard God. How are we to share these transfiguring moments? Poets, artists, and musicians do their best, but often their images fall short, like Peter's words or the bulletin cover art. How do you explain to someone what the Eucharist means to you? Or why a certain sound or fragrance brings you close to tears. God so far exceeds what we can depict or imagine that the ancient people of God were prohibited altogether from even trying. In the end, the Transfiguration story offers us an experience that we can't describe, but only live. It serves as a reminder to us of the transfiguring moments in our own lives, moments when each of us knew for certain that we were loved by God, moments when each of us became aware of Jesus urging us as he urges his disciples not to be afraid, moments when the Holy Spirit lifted us up. We need the memory of such moments to carry us through the next 7 weeks as the shadow of the cross lengthens toward us and Calvary draws ever closer. Jesus invites us to get up and not be afraid, to walk with him towards Jerusalem. Our confidence in his friendship will carry us through the wilderness of Lent and the darkness of Holy Week to the indescribable and transfiguring glory of Easter. Listen to him. Walk with him. Follow him all the way. Amen.